People think about concussions, they often relate the injury to a sport like football. Soccer is beginning to come under scrutiny, meaning more and more athletes are getting concussions from soccer. A concussion usually occurs when a head hits a force, but it can also be caused by a whiplash type of injury. Concussions are often overlooked due to the little knowledge by coaches, players, and officials about the injury. The symptoms of a concussion can be any neurological symptoms. This can be a wide variety of different things, ranging from behavioral problems to sleep or cognitive difficulties. Many people don't realize this, so when a player comes out of a game complaining of a headache or dizziness, most of the time coaches give them some Tylenol or Advil and put them back into the game. It's very difficult for coaches to assess whether or not a player might have a concussion due to the variability of symptoms from player to player. As more and more players are getting diagnosed with concussions from playing soccer, people are beginning to wonder the overall neural safety of the sport. One of the biggest parts of the sport soccer is the constant heading and going up for challenges. While many people will try to say that soccer is not a physical sport, at the end of the day, it is a very physical sport and there is a rapidly increasing amount of soccer players who are diagnosed with concussions. According to Annie Smead's article, "Does Heading a Soccer Ball Cause Brain Damage?" there is more and more evidence coming out saying that excessively heading a soccer ball can injure a player's brain and can potentially cause long-term effects on the player's cognitive ability. Robert Cantu, the professor of neurosurgery at the Boston University School of Medicine, has been part of the team that is finding new evidence to support or disclaim that concussions can very well be caused by excessively heading a ball. Cantu says that heading a soccer ball can contribute to neurodegenerative problems such as chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Other researchers have agreed that there is a close relationship between the amount of heading that a player does and brain abnormalities. The majority of the neurodamage that is seen in soccer players is in the white matter fiber tracts of the brain. For those of you who don't already know, white matter fiber tracts are what nerve cells use to transmit their messages to other nerve cells. While there is a lot of research showing that heading the ball is bad for the brain, there has been no actual talk of banning the action from the sport. With this being said, there are many rules and precautions taken, especially for the younger kids who participate in the sport who have growing and developing brains. For most places in Maine, heading a soccer ball below the age group of U12 is illegal. This rule was created to prevent young developing children to not experience an injury that could affect the way that they think for the rest of their lives. Children aren't the only ones who are at risk for experiencing long-term effects of concussions. Lindsay Barton-Strayas talks about the long-term effects of concussions on the brain in her article, "Concussion Has Long-Term Effect on Cognitive Function and Visual Processing." Strayas talks about how young adults in their 20s who had a reported concussion before the age of 18 have chronically impaired higher-order neurocognitive function and lower-level sensory and perceptual processing. Also, there have been subtle deficits in areas of the brain that are involved with attention, perception, memory, visual processing, and sensory processing that can be associated with concussions. Every day, there is more and more science coming out about concussions and the effects that they have on your brain. With all of the science and more being released, it makes you wonder why heading was ever allowed in the sport of soccer. It also makes you wonder why anybody would allow their children to play when there are so many neurological risks that come with the sport. I interviewed my mom, who played soccer when she was growing up and all throughout high school. She talks about how different concussions are treated now compared to when she was playing. Were there any precautions taken when you played soccer towards concussions?
I don't recall that we even talked about concussions when I played soccer.
Was there a lot of discussion and concern about player safety at the neurological level when you played?
No, there wasn't any that I recall at all. We never talked about concussions. We never talked about the impact of a concussion could have on you in the short term or the long term.
What were the precautions that were taken when it was suspected that a player was concussed?
Well, we typically came out of the game, but then if the coach thought we were ready to go back in or if he needed us to go back in, he'd basically just ask us, "Are you all set?" And we would always say yes because we wanted to continue to play.
Concussions are one of the scariest injuries to have as an athlete because it affects your everyday life way more than other injuries do. Personally speaking, I've gotten a few concussions, but only one that was bad enough to take me out of school for a few weeks and remove me from soccer for 3 months. One of my close friends had a very similar experience as I did with a concussion. I interviewed her to figure out from an athlete's standpoint how she knew when she had a concussion and how it changed her life for the period of time that she had it. So when did you get your concussion?
I got my concussion in May of 2014.
And how?
Someone is clearing the ball out from our net after the other team scored, and the ball hit me in the back of the head.
What were your symptoms?
I had a lot of really bad headaches. I slept a lot. I was dizzy and nauseous. I was sensitive to light and loud noises. My speech was off, and I ran into a lot of things, and I developed a lazy eye.
How did having a concussion make your life more difficult?
I couldn't do my normal everyday activities like going to school or going to lacrosse and soccer. It also affected me long term because, like, now my memory isn't as good as it used to be.
There is still one huge question that remains. How can we protect our athletes from concussions and brain damage? I mean, there's a lot of science proving that hitting the ball in soccer can cause brain damage and concussions, but also concussions can be caused from things in soccer other than just hitting the ball. Maybe we just need to inform our coaches and referees more so that there is a lesser risk of having a player continue to play when they are injured with a concussion. I interviewed my dad, who has been a soccer coach for several years. I interviewed him to see if coaches are informed about concussions at all.
As a coach, are you informed on what a concussion is and what the symptoms of concussions are?
I've coached both youth soccer. Well, I've coached youth soccer, youth baseball, and youth football. The biggest learning opportunity was with football, not as much with soccer. So I did go through concussion training with football, so I knew what to look for when I was coaching soccer.
If you ever thought that a player possibly had a concussion, did you remove them from the game?
Absolutely. Their health is number one priority with all sports. So, yeah, if I saw a play that was even questionable, we would definitely get them off the field immediately, have a conversation with them, make sure that they were okay before they ever went back into the game. So their health would be number one.
In a video about concussions put out by Banner Health, they tell their coaches, when in doubt, take them out. This means that if a coach or anybody suspects that a player might have a concussion, to sit them until a health professional can look at them and either confirm or deny a possible concussion. This simple rule right here can potentially save a lot of athletes from continuing to play while they have a concussion. Science proves that continuing to play while concussed can prolong recovery and potentially increase the severity of a concussion. The question about whether or not to ban heading in soccer is very controversial in the soccer community. Removing such a large part of the sport could potentially cause a huge uproar, but it could also save a lot of athletes, professional or youth, the damage to the brain that could be caused by hitting a soccer ball. Maybe by informing our coaches more, we can prevent concussions from occurring or increasing in severity without taking heading out of the game. It's easy for someone who has never played the sport to say, well, yeah, why don't we just remove it if it's causing health issues? But to anybody who has ever played the sport, heading is one of the most fun and intense parts of the game. So the answer to the question will still remain a mystery. Research will continue to be done on both sides of the party, and there may never be a real solution to the problem that we have here in the sport of soccer. So until we get a real answer to whether or not heading should be banned from soccer, we can continue to inform our coaches, players, and referees about concussions and attempt to prevent concussions from increasing in severity or happening at all.